Okay. This week is Parsha Hazino, which is Moshe's final song, his swan song. Okay. But I'm not going to start there. I'm going to start by talking about the Shir Shalyo. Right. What do we say every day in his Gemara Rosh Hashanah? Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yishum Rabbi Akiva. Rishon What did the Levim in the Beit HaMikdash sing when they brought the Karban Tamid on Sunday? The answer is Lashem Ha'aretz M'la'ah. What's now the Shir Shalyom we say at the end of davening on Sundays, and it goes through all the days of the week. But Shvi'i Hayu Omrim Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat. Seventh day of the week, they would say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat, which makes sense. It says about Shabbos. Yom Shekulo Shabbat, and it's for a day that is all Shabbos. Musafei de Shabbata Mahi Omrim. And what did the Levim sing as they brought the Korban Musaf of Shabbat? And the answer, Amarav Anan Baraba Amarav. But the Shir Shalyom for Musaf and Shabbat was Hazivlach. Amar Rav Hanan Bar Abba Amar Rav, and Rav Hanan adds on this, Kedersha Cholkin Kan, Kach Cholkin Bevet HaKnesset, the way they divided it, when the Levim divided it in the Beit HaMikdash, that's the way we divide it in Shul today. So the question is, what is this Shir Shalyom Shabbat of Musaf of Hazivlach? Right. The one we do for Shabbos, for the morning Shabbos, the Tamid of Mizrach Shalyom Shabbat, we know that one. Tilam Tzavibet, we say it all the time. What's a Zivlach? Which literally means yours is the aura, you have the light. Because there's no Tilam that's called a Zivlach. The word
Oh.
Ziv is not, doesn't exist. You can go look that up. The word Ziv is not a Hebrew word. Not a biblical Hebrew word, it's Aramaic. And it was borrowed into Mishnaic Hebrew, so we use the term like Ziv HaShechinah, the aura of divine presence, but that's not Hebrew, not in Tanakh anymore, except in Daniel, which is in Aramaic. And the question then is, and then what does he mean once we figure out what they would sing, what this psalm of a Zivlach was? What does it mean when he says, the way it's divided up here in the Beit HaMikdash, that's the way we divide, that's divided up in the Shul as well. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us what a Zivlach is. And you know that because of the context of what we're saying right now, it's obviously Parshat Shir
You have it
HaZinu.
written with a apostrophe in there. Is that?
Right. Yes. So that's the hint. And so I didn't put it in here, but the hint is that though these is Roshei Tevot. Okay. Kolkit Otel Shisha Prakim. If you look at Shirat HaZino in detail, which you could go through if you wanted to, or we'll put it over here, it's divided up into, and again, Gedera Shechol Beit HaKnesset, the way it's divided up into six aliyot. The first six aliyot is the way they sang in the Beit HaMikdash, and the Rishon, the first one is HaZino. And then Zachor Yimot Olam, Yarkiveo Bamate Aretz, Vayar Hashem Vayinatz, Luchach Muyasil Zot, Ki Esa Eshmaim
So
Yadi.
it's
Hazivlach.
Sheni, Shlishi, and Revi'i, or Ziv.
Sheni Shlisha Arziv, right.
Oh.
Okay, so we're not going to go into why that particular mnemonic, what it means to say Hazivlach, but point out that when it says Hazivlach, means they did. They sang Shirat Hazinu for Musaf on Shabbat. And that's the way the Rambam brings it down. Musaf Shabbat Amrim Shirat Hazinu. Okay, and Musaf, they sing Hazinu. But Cholkin Atol Shisha Prakim, and it was divided into six sections, which is the mnemonic is Hazivlach, right? Hazinu, Zachor, etc. Kedersha Kori Tol Shisha.
Oh, Haziv Lach. Oh.
Right? Okay. That's what when the Gemara says Hazivlach, it's talking about Hazina. And it's Gedera Shekorah Toshisha Beit HaKnesset. And that's exactly the aliyot that we have today. Most of the aliyot, every community had their own minhagim. We've kind of converged on a common minhag, but that was relatively later. This is from at least from the time of going back to the time of the first Beit HaMikdash. This is what they would sing. And we have seven aliyot, obviously, for Shabbos, so we add the narrative that comes afterwards for Shavuot. It's not part of the song. The song is the first six aliyot. Okay, Kedersha Korei Tov Shisha Beit Knesset. Omrim Perek B'chol Shabbat, and every week the Levim would sing one of these aliyot for the Musaf, and Gamru Ashira B'Shisha Shabbatot, and they would finish it over the course of 6 weeks, because from those, the next week they would start again from verse one.
Oh.
Okay? That's the Chokim, that's why they say it as the block, that every week they would have, they would sing a different one of these.
Do we do something like that? 1 week, one?
We don't, okay? And this is the Aruch HaShulchan, has no idea. But Gam Tamia Li, that's the Aruch HaShulchan, discussing this halacha. So Musaf Shabbat, Mavarba Rosh Hashanah, that for Musaf, because we say the Shir Shayom for the morning, right? Mizra Shilim HaShabbat, we say that. But the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, Shayu Omrim Shir, Miparsha Azinu, they would say a section of Parzinu, Alama Shabbat, Ein Mishi Omram, and why on nowadays in Shabbos, there's no minhag anywhere in the wide variety of Minhage Yisrael for Tefillah that we say it, and he's left with the Tzarech Iyun Gadol. It's one of the abbreviations you have to know. So if someone asks, if you ask someone asks a question, and then says Sadi Bet Tzarech Biur, that means they're going to explain it later, like keep reading. If it says Tzarech Iyun, means they're not going to explain it. We have no answer, and Tzarech Iyun Gadol means not only do I not have an answer, I need one. It's an important question.
What is that? Rishay Tevot Tzorech Iyun. Oh, it needs an
gadol.
Answer.
This requires a lot of. I do not. The Aruch HaShulchan, Filmech Epstein, has no idea why, even though everything else that they did, in the Levim did, all the Shirim that they did, even sang, we sing today, right? We say, you know, Shir Shir Levim Hayu Amrim. Gemara is very explicit about it, and we don't do it today. So, feel free to start that minhag now, but the Aruch HaShulchan has no idea why nobody says it. Okay, and I'm not going to answer that.
Where is the like record of it that it was a minhag?
Oh, the Gemara says that the Levim did that.
This is the only reference to it,
right? I mean, that's all you need. Just like that's the only reference to.
It's not like brought out. We've got all kinds of sifrei minhagim, and like we have other.
Right. Nobody says that in our parat filot, like all these sidurim the gaonim, where they said this is the way davening works from time of the gaonim. There are a bunch of those. Doesn't say anything about this. And I'm not going to answer the why. Right. He's left with Turk and Gadol. I don't know why. But I'm going to ask the other question. I'm going to ask why. What does Hazino have to do with Shabbos? Now the opposite question. Okay. And then
I mean,
you can ask,
back then, why did they do
why
it?
Did right? Why they picked? I understand why they picked the for Shabbos morning for the Tamid Shal Boker, they would sing Mizmor Shilim Shabbat. It says that.
Right.
Why Hazinu for Musa? So this mostly comes Moshe Eisenman's Shira Hazinu, is a little book he published. So in terms of thinking about this question, what's the connection with Shabbos? So what is Shira Hazina? What is this Shira? So the introduction to it is in last week's parsha in the Vayelah. V'yomer Hashem Moshe, hein kavuya mecha lamut. Hashem tells Moshe, your day of death is approaching. This is the last day of his life. Kara et Yeshua, go. I want you to go call Yeshua, v'yitzvu ba'ol moed. And both of you are going to go into the ol moed, v'atzavenu, and I will command him, I will appoint him, I will give him leadership. So Moshe and Yeshua go into the Ol Moed. And the cloud of glory appears. And the cloud moves to the front of the Ohel. And then Hashem tells Moshe, you're going to lie with your ancestors. You're going to die. And these people that you're leading are going to rise up and start worshiping other gods, Asher Hu Bashama, gods of the land, Asher Hu Bashama Bikirbo, the gods of the land that they're going into. Bazavani, they're going to abandon me. Fair Briti, they're going to abandon my treaty, my covenant, Asher Karati Yato, that I still do that. I got some bad news for you. Bacharapi Ba Bayamahu, and I'm going to be angry at them, Bazatim, I'm going to abandon them, Bazat Panay Mehem, I'm going to hide my face to them. And they will be consumed, and terrible things will happen to them. And they will say, And the people will say then, when these bad things happen, hello, al ki ein elokai b'kirbi. It's because God is abandoned. Matzoni arot azeh, that these terrible things have happened. V'anochi haster astir panai b'yamahu. But I will have hidden my face. It's not that I'm gone. That's the idea of hester panim, that I will not appear to them because the terrible things will happen. Al kol rasha asab, because of the bad things that they've done. Ki panai al hil me'achrim, because they turn to other gods. That's what's going to happen. Bata, now, kitfu lachem et hashira hazot. You two, right, you and Yeshua here, I want you to write down this shira, this song. Lamda b'nei Israel. Teach it b'nei Israel. Sima b'fihem. Put it in their mouths. Make them learn it. Lamantiyaz li'ashira zot le'ei b'nei Israel. So this will be the testimony. They will remember this when all these bad things happen. And then we have Shirat Hazina. But the song, right, meant to be learned, right? Lamdab Israel, Sima b'fihem, they should be in their mouth. Tell B'nai Israel the terrible things that will happen. And what's interesting about this is something unique about this is that's different from the rest of the Torah. This Shira. There's a very poignant medrash about this time, this Moshe's last day, right? When Hashem tells him, Krat Yoshua, call Yoshua. When it says, Amar Lefana, Hashem tells Moshe, Hen Karvecha Yamechel Amut, your days are coming to an end, and Moshe tells him, tells Hashem, Rosh HaOlam, Yital Yoshua Archi Shali Ve'eyechai, let Yoshua take my position, let me live. Right, okay. You tell me I'm cursed. I can't leave B'nai Israel to Eretz Israel. Fine. I'm going to retire. Let me go sit in the back. I'll be Moshe ben Amram Levi in the back. Yeshua will lead them. Just let me enter. Let me go with them. Amar Karsh Baruch Hu. So Hashem tells him, Aselo Kedera Shehu Aselach. Okay, fine. You want to retire? You want to be subservient to Yeshua? He's going to be the leader. You need to treat him the way he treated you. Miyad Hishkim Moshe, so Moshe goes out immediately, Balach the Beit Yeshua, goes to Yeshua's house, Yitiyare Yeshua Amar, and Yeshua is shocked. He answers the door in his pajamas, and there's Moshe Rabbeinu standing in front of him. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's like Moshe's coming to me. What's going on? Yatsu Lalech, so they go out. Balach Moshe, Lismolo Shel Yeshua, Moshe ran on the left, Yeshua's on the right side. Position of honor belongs to Yeshua. Niftasula Omawade, they go into the Omawade, right? So the Pasuk says that. Yerada Amun Hanan Vihisik Benehem. And the God of Glory comes and separates the two of them. And then they get their vision, whatever Nebuah they're getting. He says, Ministalik Amun Hanan, the Amud leaves. Halach Moshe Etz Yeshua. Moshe goes to Yeshua of Amar and asks him, Marlacha Hadibor. What does Hashem tell you? Amar le Yeshua, kishya dibur nigla alecha. When Hashem revealed Himself to you, when you heard Hashem's words, yado hayiti ma medaber imcha. Did I know what Hashem was saying to you? And because there's a principle in nevuah that you can't share unless you're told to. You have to be commanded to give it. Nevuah is an intimate interaction with Hashem, and this is here source 8. That Amar Rabbi Rabba minayin la omer daber lechavera shu b'val yeamar ad sheyomer lo.
Wait, you didn't finish.
Oh, I did. I'm just introducing the point that Moshe is making. I will go back to that.
Oh.
That Yeshua is saying, I can't tell you why, because it says, like, by the Bar Shevet Levi, oh, wait, lay more. That at lay more at the end of everything is Hashem says, you need to say this over. You can't repeat a nevuah. It's not something that can be expressed in words. It's not a sham, unless you have a mission to say so. So Yeshua said, I can't tell you what I heard. Otasha atzak Moshe v'amar. At that moment, Moshe cried and said, "Mea mitot lokina achat. Better I should die 1,000 deaths than feel this jealousy that I'm feeling."
Oh.
I said, it's just poignant. It's just, you know, it's like Moshe can't do it. He can't go from being Moshe Rabbeinu to being in the back. I can't not know what Hashem is saying.
What was that pasuk? Treat Yehoshua the way he treated you. What is that in reference to?
That Yehoshua served Moshe all the time. Yehoshua in a ohel. That this is Moshe now has to serve Yehoshua.
Oh.
learn from Yeshua, like he's walk on the left side, you know, you're on the right side. Right? You're now, Yeshua is going to get the Nevuah, you're not. Now clearly Moshe gets the Nevuah here, right? Hashem tells him, you need to know this Shira and teach it B'nai Israel. But that makes a point about what Sefer Devarim is about. So we know that that a Nevuah is not something that a Navi gets in words. This is in Yaakov Amato, nearly. In that Matzina, that we find that Shinevi Emet, that with the Nevi'im, you know, Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, everyone, ancient Nevi'im mit Nabim b'signon echad. Famous quote, two different Nevi'im never use the same words. We have to have the same message. The Me'amr Chazal, Chazal said, Shekeshem shepartzu fei adam enem domim zelazet, just like people's faces are different, one from the other, can't end that to hem shavot. Their minds are different. That some of the personality, the individuality of the Navi is part of the Nevuah. That the Navi gets the vision, gets the ideas, and the Navi expresses it in his own words, the way he understands how to express this infinite, inexpressible vision of divine wisdom. Moshe is different. Moshe Rabbeinu, Shemaser Lo HaTorah, B'zeh HaDavar, Moshe says, this is what God wants. Mamash Kabbalato, B'li Ezeh Hishtatfut, Me'ishuto. The Torah as a whole was given to Moshe, word for word. Right? Without any part of his Ishatoa Pratit, without any part of Moshe's individuality. Kadosh Baruch Hu Medaber Migrono Shel Moshe, that's the way the Gra puts it, as though Hashem speaking from the throat of Moshe.
We don't know what Hashem said to or showed Yehoshua.
We don't.
We still don't.
I'm assuming that was the same thing, because they're both of them are going out and saying the Shira. They had the same message. We don't know what Yeshua's way of expressing it would have been. That both of them go out and teach it to Bnei Israel. So they both are telling the same thing. Okay, if you don't listen, then bad things will happen. But what Yeshua's Nevuah would have been was not written down. We don't know what Yeshua said.
Where does it say that they both teach it?
What's that? Kitvu plural lachem tishra zot, and then let's go pull them down. But better than that. At the end of it, at the end of Hazinu, I didn't quote it here. Okay, by Bo Moshe, but a bear called Divrei Ashura Zot, Bosneha Am Hu Yehoshea bin Nun.
Okay.
You both go out and teach it afterwards. They teach Moshe's version. We don't see Yeshua's version. Yeshua is still secondary to Moshe's point. So we've talked about the fact that Devarim is different, right? Save Devarim as a whole is Moshe's Torah Shebal Peh. Hawil Moshe, Moshe is one who said it, is worthy of Hashem afterwards said, incorporate that into Torah Shebaktav. This is Moshe's Nevuah in the sense that other Nevi'im had. This is Hashem gave him this, the image of Moshe's job to express it in words. And therefore it was different from Yeshua's. That's what Hazino. This is, Hazino is Moshe's own Nevuah. It's different from the rest of the Torah. This is not Kadosh Baruch Hu Medaber Migrosh Moshe.
It's so explicit, saying teach it to them, teach the word, these words to them.
Right.
But he didn't give him the words.
Right, but my argument is that the writing of the word, the Shira, is something that Moshe had to compose.
I mean, teach them this concept in your words.
Right. This is Nevuah, in the sense of other Nevi'im. This is not in the sense of Torah. It's going to be incorporated into Torah. So Pan has that significance then, but as originally down, it's written separately as, here's a scroll, this is what I'm writing down.
No, but it somehow jars with God saying, teach this to them in your own words, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly the way I want to read that, right? That,
yeah.
You know, that the Shira part was Moshe. That's why Moshe had to write it down for them. I think it's part of the writing of that. It was not so much read it, to just say the words to them, but here, write. I want you to compose this Shira.
And then teach it.
And then you're going to teach that. That's my introduction to Hazina. So what does that do with Shabbos?
Right.
That's where we're going with this. But you could equally well ask, what does Mizmor Shilim HaShabbat have to do with the Shabbat? Have you ever looked at the words of it? There's no mention of Shabbos at all. Right? Here's how it starts. Mizmor Shilim HaShabbat. Tov lo do'ol Hashem. It's good to thank God. L'zamer l'shem ka'al yon. To sing your to your name. L'agib b'ruch ha'stecha v'mercha b'alelot. To tell of your mercy in the morning and your faith at night. And all goes into a brach for Esav, when the wicked flourish like grass, yatzitzu kol po aven, and evildoers blossom, yisam dama and they are, but they'll be destroyed in the end. And tzaddik katamar yifrach, the righteous will bloom like a palm, ki erez bal vanon your scale will be fruitful like the, will grow like the cedar. Lagid ki yashar Hashem, telling us that God is righteous, tziriv lo atapo, he's my rock, and there is no evil in him. And what's interesting, that idea, that metaphor of Hashem is tzur, occurs one place in the Torah, which is in Shirat Hazina. That's tzur tamim palo.
You know where else it occurs? In the Declaration of Independence of Israel.
Ah, that was intentional, because it's sufficient, it's not too religious.
Right.
And get away with it.
They refer to God as Tzur Yisrael. Yeah.
But that comes from us. Because the truth is that Mizmor Shilim HaShabbat, the Gemara says, that it was written by Moshe as well.
Oh.
Right. We have the one, there's one parak that's called Tefillah Moshe Ish Elokim. That's parak Tzadi, number 90. That's explicitly Moshe. Gemara says, as Rashi understands, that and the next 10. So Tzadi through Kuf were all written by Moshe. In Tanakh class, we talked about that and how that fits into Moshe's life and how to understand those. So Mizmor Shilim HaShabbat, according to the Gemara, was written by Moshe as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing about Shabbos. It says Mizmor Shilim HaShabbat, and that's all about theodicy. Right? Justice. Okay, you're going to see the wicked will bloom, but they'll die off. It's like grass. The righteous take a long time. They're like the trees. They will eventually grow tall, but it takes time. You have to realize that God is just, but gamzu l'tov. This will end up okay. There's nothing about resting, nothing about Saturdays up. So there's insight of Rav Kamenetsky, the Amos Yaakov, which I've talked about many times before, trying to understand what does it mean to say that Mizmor Shilim HaShabbat was written by Moshe. And he's going to look at a couple of different midrashim.
Wait, I have a question, Danny. Yeah. That first line, Mizmor Shilim HaShabbat.
Yes.
Moshe wrote that, telling us save this on Shabbat, where he started with Tov L'Hodot L'Hashem.
The implication of what way, later, the way we're going to understand, you'll see how Kamenetsky puts together, is that Moshe included that line.
Oh.
That is the title of this parak.
Okay.
Okay. Now that is going to, reading it agadically. Okay. So we're putting, yeah, a lot of very fine threads together here, but I like the way this presents it.
Okay.
Okay. But we're going to go back to Moshe. We go back to Moshe before he was Moshe Rabbeinu, before he comes to Paro and says, let my people, or right when he comes to Paro and says, let my people go. Right, comes to Paro and says, let my people go. And Paro says, no, I will not let them go. Right, by Tzav Paro, by Mahu, et Noxim, Ba'am, et traveling more. Paro commands the overseer of the people, and he says, Lotosifin Latet Tevin La'am Lubon Alabinit, Moshe Lashon. We're not going to give straw anymore to reinforce the bricks like we did previously. Hey, Milchul, Bakashulam Tevin, they need to go and gather their own straw. That Makona Talavinim, Asher Himosim, Moshe Lashon, and the quarter of bricks that they have to make. Just for the days before, to Simul Ahem, they still have to make the same quota. Lochigu Menu, you cannot subtract from those. Kinir Pimhem, but they're lazy. Akenahim, so Akim, that's where they're all whining, Lamor, Nechandiz Bechalo King, let's go sacrifice to our God. They obviously have too much free time if they can think about that. We're going to make them work harder. Achbeda Bodal Hashim, Veyal Suba, let's make them work harder on them so they should do something. Val Yeshub Dibre Sheker, and let them not spend their time with lying words. That's Moshe's response to, that's Paro's response to Moshe. And we go back. There's an agada that Moshe invented the weekend. Okay? Before he's coming to Paro with his message of let my people go. When he's still Paro's adoptive grandson in the palace, it says, Vaygal Moshe Vaytzel Acha, Moshe grew up, and he went out to his brothers. He sees them suffering, and he talks about how he wants to get them free, and he attacks the Egyptians. But this is the way the Medrash puts it. Moshe saw that the Jews had no rest. They were slaves. Again, this is Moshe is a princeling in the Egyptian palace. Halach b'amar l'paro. So he went back and told Paro, again, grandpa, mi sheyesh lo eved, if you had a slave, hypothetically, im eino nach yom echa b'shavua, you don't let him rest once a week, he's going to die. Elo avadecha, these, you got all these Hebrew slaves, im eino tameniach lehem yom echa b'shavua, he metim, if you don't give him a chance to rest, they're going to overwork, they're going to die. You'll get more work out of them if you give them a day off a week. Amar lo, Paro says to them, lech vaseh lehed kamasha te'amar. Okay, that sounds like a good idea, Moshe. Why don't you go set that up? Moshe said, okay, we're going to give you one day out of every seven, you guys are going to get a day off from now on. So now he invented Shabbos. Just to give him a day off. That's the Medrash. And then the Medrash says, 40 odd years later, when he comes back to Paro, now as the liberator, and says, let my people go. And then Paro says, no, I want you to keep working harder. He says, Tichbad avoda, Hashem, make the work a bit harder. The Medrash says, Melamed shehayu biyadam megilot. Tells us that they had scrolls, they had books. Shehu mishtashin bahen, that they would spend their time. They would have a pastime. May Shabbat la Shabbat. They would spend their time on Shabbos and they would read these Megillot, Lomar Shakarish Bokhu Golan, to give them hope that Hashem would save them. That's the Medrash. The Fisha Yinochim b'Shabbat, because they had that time off on Shabbos. Marla and Paro, so when Paro says, no, Tichbad Habodal and Hashem, now make everything harder for them. Al Yeshu, don't let them spend time with these lying words. He's talking about that. Al yu mishtashin, don't let them spend their time with these migilot. Al yu nefashim yom Shabbat, I'm taking away that weekend. Obviously, they're lazy enough, they can go talk about leaving and worshiping God. They don't need the day off. I'm taking away their migilot, I'm taking away their Shabbat. So, this is Yemes Yaakov. Lo matzino b'shum makom ma hayu migilot elu, ma'ala b'sofa. So we have no idea what the Megillot are. Medrash says that they had Megillot, that they would read on Shabbat, that they would learn that God would save them. We have nothing like that. Where does that come from? Allah b'dati lamar. So he says, I thought, and you can see where he's going with this, if I look at Mizmor Shir, nireh shelo nimtza sham shum zecher l'Shabbat. The actual words have nothing but Shabbos. The opposite is true. It's open Mizmor, right? And it goes through and he explains explicitly. Bior Lerner explains that Tachlit Kavanat Mizmor, the whole point of this Mizmor is Lahagik Yashar Hashem, the law of Latabo. Say God is righteous. There is no evil in God. Everything will work out in the end. Imkain Enzu Kavanat Shabbat. That has nothing to do with Shabbos, does it? It would seem to me, it makes sense, if I want to put these all together, that this, if we're saying, okay, we said in Gemara that Moshe wrote Mizmor Shir LeShabbat, it says that they had these Megillot for Shabbat, Moshe gave them Shabbat, let's put all the pieces together. This is one of these things. They would read Mizmor Shir LeShabbat, Sheshashu Bahem, B'yom HaShabbat Mitzrayim, that they would spend their time learning in Egypt. So after Paro agrees to Moshe's request, that Bnei Israel should get a day off, Moshe picked Shabbos for its religious significance. Moshe wrote a bunch of texts about having hope. things will get better, right? Tzadika tamar yifrach. It takes time. But achar sheba moshel parosh yishak miyishrev. When Moshe comes later and says, "Let my people go," gazar alehem sheyasuv v'datam gam hashabbat. Paro says, "Nope, we're taking it all away." Deishal yulchu shasheya v'migilotem, so they couldn't spend their time with his migilot. There's another hypothesis. Gemara also says that that Moshe wrote Sefer Iyov as well.
Oh.
So he would say it's the same thing. It's also about theodicy and why did bad things happen to good people. It says that's another example of the sort of thing that one would have had during the Egyptian slavery. That's another Megillah they would have had looking at this. That's what we say.
So, and according to that Midrash, when did Eov live, if he lived?
Okay, so the idea is that, right, so that's independent of the question of whether Eov was real or not.
Right.
Right. The surely Gemara over there with Barbatra, which talks about who wrote what, says Moshe wrote the actual book.
I thought one of the Midrashim was that Eov lived during the 40 years.
Right. So you can look at the Midrash and what that exactly means is a whole separate question. Okay. What does it mean he lived in the
pasuk time? About their protection was removed and that was Eov dying.
And whether, so that's that, the question about Eov is a bigger one, and whether he was real because he's mentioned in Yechezkel.
But here we have him living before they leave Egypt, if he lived, right?
Right.
And Moshe wrote about
it. I would certainly read the book of Eov as a mashal, independent of any historical, right? The lesson of the book of Eov is trying to understand why bad things happen to good people.
And Moshe wrote it, and that was one of the Megillot.
So that would be the implication of this. If we're literally, they had these Megillot, and again, and that's one of the ideas that before Moshe becomes Moshe Rabbeinu, he's freed them and he's given them this sort of the sense of hope, that there is a way of understanding why these terrible things are happening to us, why we're being oppressed, and that yes, it will get better. And Mizmor Shilma Shabbat is exactly that. And we say Yismach Moshe Matnar Chelko, right, in the Amida. And I would read it as not that Matnar Chelko was not the gift that Hashem gave Moshe, but that Moshe gave. This is, Moshe was happy about this gift of Shabbos that it was his privilege to give. Not in the sense so much of rest, but of hope. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Matana, this is Gemara Shabbos, Matana Tova Yishli, Bevekin Zi. I have this great gift in my storehouse, the Shabbat Shema. This is a great idea. This is not about holiness. This is just about being able to take a break from the world. This, you know, the almost a secular idea of Shabbat as a rest. If I case it's not Yisrael, lech with them. I want you to give it to Bnei Yisrael.
Oh, that's a nice pasuk.
Yeah, that's the Gemara Shabbos. I think that's what Yismach Moshe Matan Chelko, that Moshe was privileged to give this to Bnei Yisrael.
Before they get the Torah, before they're commanded to rest on Shabbat.
This is not about resting per se because of creation. This is, you need, right? It's important to have a time to get away, to stop the world. Okay, that's what this is. And a chance to think that things will get better. Things are terrible, but hang in there. Shabbos is coming. Right?
And to read.
Stop and read, yes. That's exactly the way the matter says. That's what Shabbos is for. Then. Okay? And that's what, and as the Gemara says that, again, why this Mizmor Shir, Jedi Omrim, Mizmor Shir Yom Shabbat, Mizmor Shir La'atid Lavo. It's a shir about the far future, Yom Shekulo Shabbat, for time that it will all be Shabbos. Menucha L'chayomim, real menucha, real rest, nachat ruach. So that the gift that Moshe gives him is that Shabbat represents hope.
Okay.
Been reading it.
So what about Haziv?
Haziv lach parsha hazinu. That's the beginning of Moshe's career. This is the end of Moshe's career. Hashem tells Moshe it's all going to fall apart.
Oh.
Everything's right. Everything you've done, they're going to break. They're going to be wiped out. They're going to be exiled. Right. That's the whole beginning of the song. This is part of Shira Tazina, by Shman Yishrun Vayivat. Yishrun, as a name for Israel, the one who was straight, got fat and kicked, rebelled. Shamanta Vita Kasita. You got fat, you got thick, you got obese. Vaitosh Elo Yaso, and you forgot the God who made you, Vanabel Sur Yeshua To, and you were ungrateful to that sewer who saved you. Again, that word, that metaphor. Yachnu b'zarim, you made God jealous with strangers, but ta'avot yachasu, you made him angry with abominations. You offered sacrifices to demons, not God. Elohim lo yada'um, gods that you've never heard of before. Adashim yikaro ba'o, you brought new gods in from the neighbors. Loser muvadechem, that your ancestors didn't serve. Shura yulad chateshi, the rock who gave birth to you, you've forgotten. Batishkach el mecholecha, and you've forgotten the God who birthed you.
That's in Ha'azinu?
That's Ha'azinu, right? That's Tetvav. Ha'azinu is 43 psukim long. This is Tetvav 15 through 18.
And that was said on one of the Shabbases of the six.
Right. Right. But as at that point, so this is, where is it? So 16 through 18 would be on the third one.
Uh-huh.
Right. The first is the introduction. Second is the Chori Matlav, that you need to remember how we got here. Third one is all the bad things that would happen. And then fourth one is Vayar Hashem Vayinat, and then Hashem wipes them out. The fifth is Lukach Mu Yaskilu Zot. If they're wise, they would realize what happened. And then the sixth is where things get better. Yasah Shemayim Yadi, I make the following oath. And it ends on a better, happy note. Okay? Shem says, Moshe, yes, things will get bad. Your first gift to your people was this hope of a better future. And that's what Shabbat symbolizes. This now is your last gift to your people. And you're giving them a hope of a better future. So Hazino ends with this, Harminu go yemamo, the nations will sing to his people. Kidan adav abadav yakum, God will avenge the blood of his servants. Come Yeshiva Sarav, he will pay back their enemies, and he will bring atonement to the land and to the people. And so that this also is a song of hope as well. In the end, if things are bad, they will get better. There is hope from the end. The kapara will happen. We will return to the land. So that also becomes the song of this Atid Lavo, Mchukul Shabbat Mnachalach Elamim. So we start Shabbos by singing Moshe's first song, and we end Shabbos, or we should, again, we talk in Gadol why we don't do it, but as you know,
we don't do it, right.
We don't do it.
It's too, song of hope. It's too gloomy. Who wants to read all that on Shabbos?
We can do the last verses that are the happy ones.
Yeah, but you, for 5 weeks, you're reading gloomy things, and then the sixth one.
It gets better. So I give you permission just to read the last one every Shabbos. I don't know, right? Why not do something?
Right.
Yeah. Right. At least we got, at least in sense, in the terms of the karbanot, of the shachar to Musa, we got the sense of, okay, here is that final words of hope that Moshe offers Bnei Israel. I'm not going to be there with you. Yes, things will get bad, but they will get better. There is an elatid lavo, and that's what Hazina is all about.
Look at that use of the word tzur in Pasuk Yud Chet there.
Yes.
That's what they say, that God didn't create me, but
No. Shulia Chateshi is just literally telling you that you have forgotten the rock who birthed you.
Oh, God is the rock.
Right.
God is the rock here. Oh, okay.
So it's all there. God is always the rock, right? You are grateful to the tzur who saved you. The rock who birthed you, you've forgotten.
Oh, what is a yunabel?
Be a naval. It's used as a fool.
Bad?
A naval.
It's bad, right?
Yeah, it's bad. Ish naval v'lo chacham. Usually, sense of in this sense of I'm being ungrateful, unappreciative, not knowing where your food's coming from. You were ungrateful to the rock.
And then at the end again, tzur, right?
Right. So you have a bunch of times in this year the use of tzur as a metaphor for God.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot to remember. It's a lot to hold together. So tell me again, why are they reading this on Shabbat? Because at the end it's
because
hopeful?
it's a tefillah of hope, and that's what Shabbos is there for. It's a
But this wasn't one of the Megillot that they had in Egypt.
No. This was definitely, this was read, this again, the idea of what I'm saying is that we had the Megillot in the beginning that Moshe offers them to give him hope, and we have this new Megillah at the end of his life to give them hope. This is what he's written on the last day of his life.
It's a hard lesson in hope, how bad things are going to be. Can't we
Yeah.
skip that? Get to the good part?
I give you permission not to read it. I can't give you the option of not living it.
Well, it's also
Yeah.
different though, because like when you were saying that the Mizmor Yom HaShabbat, that was given when they were already struggling, so they were looking for a message of hope. The Hazinu is given at a time of elation and revelation. And it's like, why do we need this message of hope? Oh, because you're something that is going, like, it's almost darker.
Right.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that's why they stopped saying it, Danny. That's why they stopped saying it.
It could be.
It was too gloomy for five sections. It was... Who wants to read that on Shabbos?
Well, pay attention to Shabbos when we read all the words in there. Yeah, it starts again. The first three of the six are gloomy, and then it turns around. Well, the turnaround is, boy, you people are stupid. Don't you understand what's going on? So, it's very similar to, you know, the actual Tefillah of Moshe.
Oh, that's good. A lot of good Midrashim in this one with Yoshua.
Yeah, I like that one about Yoshua getting the Nevuah and Moshe asking, what'd you hear?
Yeah.
Better 100 deaths than not this jealousy. Let me go.
And he was jealous.
The Mizra Shilam HaShabbat has the same idea that the Hazino does, of Ish Bar Lo Yadach Silya Vinodzov. Goes with the, you know, that the fool doesn't understand this about why the evil ones are flowering. And Hazino has the same idea. Where is it? Luchach Muya Yuzot.
It's that you're the ones who are suffering. It's not, you don't understand why someone else is suffering.
Well, you're going to suffer. Right, both times it's talking at those who are suffering, as Divya said, though. But in Israel, when he's giving it now, are not suffering yet. It's a warning, they will be. And then they
have right.
Luchat Moisil. So this is Zeno says, if they're wise, they understand it. Echad Elf, how can the thousand be, have one chase a thousand, etc.
This is in Mizmor Shir, Yom HaShabbat.
So Mizmor Shir, again, this is Mizmor Shir here. Ish bar lo yadach silya vinodzot. And Hazino is Luchachmu yaskilu zot yavinu l'achrita.
Oh.
I would say the structure is very similar. You know, you're suffering, evil's flowering, but in the end, but if you were wise, you would understand that, no, that won't last, then. The arc of history is long, but it bends for justice.
Hey, look, here's Eicha, the little Eicha.
Okay, and I'm going to stop here.
Oh, and here's another tour.
Yes,
another
Hilog to Reinuk to Ram, right? Hmm. Their rock is not ours, right?
How many times did Tzur here?
Four for Hashem, I think. But it's the only time in the Torah that appears. And it appears this way in the other tefillim that are attributed to Moshe. Again, going with the idea that this is Moshe's words here. Okay, well, have a great day. Have a good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll leave and then you could have some family time.
Yes.